eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to a podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. You're listening to podcast number 69, which is being recorded on February 22nd, 2007, from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. I've just spent a great day here in Washington, D.C. I'm in town for a PBS symposium that took place today, where we basically did some brainstorming and got some ideas and came up with some curriculum ties for an upcoming Ken Burns documentary that will be released in the fall of 2007, actually in September of 2007. And the name of this this documentary series is The War. And Ken Burns has done an amazing job of documenting World War II. And so today, PBS brought in a collection of teachers, students. We had some people there from the Library of Congress, PBS, some college professors, people from the archives, NCSS, National History Day, just an amazing collection of people in one room, probably, I'd say about 50 of us probably in the same room, and basically just wanted to kind of pick our brains a little bit on how we could help them create some curriculum things that they can put along with the series. They're very understanding that this is going to be something that a lot of teachers use, and so they really wanted to find out how we would use it, and I thought it was amazing that they had students there. We had high school students there that gave input. They broke us up into different groups, and we watched some clips, and it's just an amazing day. Two of the producers were there, Lynn Novick and Sarah Botstein. Were there. They produced it along with Ken Burns, and we were able to get some amazing insight from them about the entire process of how they made the video, some of the insights as to why they included certain things and did not include other things. We did watch some video segments. They actually sent all the participants a DVD of about 45 minutes of footage that we got at the end of last week, and we had a couple days to watch that, and then we had to bring that back with us today and give it back to them. But the portions that we saw on the DVD that they sent us and then the portions we saw today, just simply amazing. They've done a great job to really bring World War II into the classroom, and of course the general public as well that will watch it on PBS. They focus on basically four towns. There's a town in Minnesota, a town in Connecticut, Sacramento, California, and then also Mobile, Alabama. And it tells the story of World War II really from individual stories of people in those towns. It's going to be about 14 hours long. I believe the official date that it's going to be out is September 23rd of 2007, and they've been working on this for over 6 years. So huge undertaking, extremely well done. If you are a teacher that teaches World War II in the curriculum, definitely be looking for this next fall. They are very passionate about getting a great teacher website companion. There's going to be a book that goes with it, a companion book that goes with it. They're really working hard on creating a lot of different extra features on the website. So be looking out for that. You know, World War II, an amazing topic that really it's kind of we're in a race against time to really collect some of those stories. One of the components that they're really going to work closely with is the Veterans History Project. And amazingly, we lose, the United States loses, about 1,000 World War II veterans a day. We lose about 1,000 World War II veterans a day as they pass away. So really an incredible race against time to get as many of these stories documented and to really preserve the things that happened in such a huge global event such as World War II. So that's what I did during the day today. And then tonight, I went down to Alexandria, Old Town Alexandria. And today, January 22nd, is George Washington's birthday. And so I thought, what better way to celebrate George Washington's birthday than to go down to Gatsby's Tavern in Old Alexandria. And I've known about this place for a while. My wife and I actually tried to get reservations there this last summer when we came into town, but I think they had some kind of corporate event, and so it was busy the day that we had a day free. But Gatsby's Tavern was built in 1785, and the original building is still there. And the amazing thing is, this is actually a place where a lot of well-known people went and ate. In fact, George Washington, after he retired to Mount Vernon, would come up to Alexandria and actually eat here on his birthday, ironically, quite a bit. And other people that ate there included Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, James Madison. So it's really amazing to be able to sit actually in the same room that those people once dined. So I made reservations when I found out that I'd be coming into Washington, and thought it would be a great way to celebrate his birthday. And I actually ordered something that supposedly Washington had quite a bit when he was at the tavern. You get a really amazing ambiance in there, because they have people that are in period dress, you know, serve you and wait on you and things. They have everything candlelit, so it's really like you're walking into colonial times. And so what I had was what they call on the menu Washington's favorite, and it was a cider glazed duckling with port wine glaze. And they're kind of this red cabbage kraut, kind of a sweet type kraut, along with some garlic potatoes and some smoked bacon spoon bread, which was really good. It was almost more of a dessert, really, than the bacon kind of threw me off, because I was thinking bacon and spoon bread, but it was amazing. The entire meal was great. So I took some pictures. I actually sat by the fireplace next to one of the windows, and so I took some pictures of the inside, and then I also actually took a picture of the plate when the meal came. It was really laid out amazingly, and I know a couple of people kind of looked at me like I was strange, but I included that picture on the blog as well. But I highly recommend, if you're in Washington, go down to Alexandria, and it's an amazing experience. The food is really good, and you know, just to be able to sit in the same room and imagine that Thomas Jefferson, you know, walked into that room at one time, and George Washington walked into that room at one time, pretty amazing experience. It kind of reminded me a little bit when I was in high school. We took a family vacation to Colonial Williamsburg, and one of the things that my dad really wanted to experience in Colonial Williamsburg was to have an original original meal like they would have had in colonial times. So I remember he was really excited about it, and we went to this one place and had an authentic meal, and my brother and I really didn't like it at all. I was in high school. I think I might have been a sophomore at the time, and my brother was a little bit younger, and we didn't like it at all. And ironically, when I began teaching and I got involved with the close-up program, I took students to Colonial Williamsburg and ate a similar meal when I was a young adult, and thought it was the most amazing meal that I'd ever had. So it kind of reminded me of that. But the meal is really good. Obviously, you can't beat eating in a place that has all those famous names as well. So definitely recommend that if you're going to be in Alexandria. Well, tomorrow I'm going to be in Washington. I'm going to try and do some podcasting tomorrow. I'm going to visit the International Spy Museum. That is one location that I've not been to in Washington, and heard quite a bit about. It's a relatively new museum. So I plan to do a podcast about some of the educational resources and a little bit about the museum. And then hopefully maybe go to the archives or the Library of Congress. Haven't really decided on what I'm going to do with the rest of my day. But do plan to do some podcasting and let you know a little bit of what I explore here in Washington, D.C. on this trip. As always, make sure that if you have any comments or you'd like to give us some feedback, you can email us at speakingofhistory@gmail.com, or go ahead and leave a comment on the blog post. And if you're listening to this on the audio format only, you can reach the webpage or the blog that we have at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot. And I've included a button on the new entries if you want to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. There's an automatic way to do that. And as always, you can also subscribe through blog lines or whatever aggregator that you listen to. So thanks for listening and sharing with me a little bit. And we'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.